Almighty God, we give you thanks for the words from both the gospel lesson today, as you declared what it means to start our journey of faith as a little child, as infants, as little children, and to have the same response and same attitude of heart, that our faith is not built on a quantitative amount of knowledge, but Lord, our faith is built on a simple and childlike trust in you as our Lord and Savior. Lord, we thank you for your word today, and we pray that we may all have our share in Christ. We may all have that blessed assurance, that confidence in your amazing power and love. Lord, may the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts, be pleasing in your sight, dear Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. We have come to share in Christ. This is the promise in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 14. If we hold firmly till the end the confidence we had at first. Now, the word confidence there, I would translate assurance. But either way, the confidence we would hold to the end is the confidence and the assurance we had at first. And you think, well, what does he mean by at first? Well, I think the gospel lesson today from St. Mark chapter 10 explained that sufficiently. When he said, you will not be part of the kingdom of God unless you receive the kingdom, you receive faith, like a child. And that's hard, isn't it? I mean, I've lived my life with two things. I live my life wanting, this is kind of my, I don't know which is a mission and a vision statement. I kind of have interchanged them. But I have lived my life with a mission statement that is to know Christ and to make him known. And another, and a vision statement to be a first century Christian in the 21st century. Because I happen to believe that if we could respond as the first century church did, we are in the right environment and time to do that. And I have lived my life with those things. I have lived my life with that perspective. And you know, every time I use that phrase, to know Christ and to make him known, I'm afraid that unfortunately, because we are a Western culture and because we are highly influenced by the Greek, a lot of people think of the word gnosis, they think of the word knowledge, and they think of it as a cumulative amount of knowledge. We have a great institution across the street here, EMU. We have another great institution even a few miles down the road, U of M. We have another one, Concordia, and so on. We're institutions that are institutions of learning. And they look at knowledge as something that we accumulate in our mind. And yet, the real knowledge that we're talking about here, when I say to know Christ and to make him known, what I'm talking about is the knowledge that is in the Old Testament, the Hebrew word yada, which is what when Adam knew his wife, when God knows us, it's an intimate knowledge. It's a personal relationship. And when I say to know Christ and to make him known, I'm talking about that intimacy, that love, that desire to be together in unity. And it is my prayer that we would not fall prey. We use the words here, belong, believe, become. And whenever I get to believe, just like in John 14, verse 1, we often hear this at funerals. And depending on the translation of pistuo, they might translate Jesus' word as, believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many rooms, you know. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I've always translated that, trust in God, trust also in me. It's kind of similar if you look back in Hebrews chapter 2, when the writer of Hebrews, whether it's Paul, Apollos, we talked about that last week, we don't know who it was, he didn't put his name to it. And you look at those words, and he quotes from Isaiah 8, and he uses the word that in Greek is pithos, and pithos simply means to trust, to basically throw ourselves into the loving Father's arms, to trust in him. And I can't imagine that if we understand believe and that it, with the idea of trust, that it's not how much knowledge we have that brings us into relationship with God. It's that trust in the love and the power and the truth of God. His word, what's said in His church, and how we live, right? That's why it's so hard today, brothers and sisters, because it is difficult to trust today, don't you think? We have a broken trust between us and our leaders, right? The media doesn't help that. People saying things in debates that aren't true doesn't help that. Really irritated me on Tuesday. The reality is we have lost trust with people in authority. We've lost trust with others. The breakdown of marriage, they always say, oh, that usually starts over money. I'll tell you something. It doesn't start over money. It starts out over trust. When you don't trust someone, then the money problems get even worse, right? You're always wondering what's going to happen next. Or where did that go? Or where did this go? Trust is the core. And what bothers me is I grew up with an understanding. Many people just say, you know, well, you can't really, you weren't, I mean, I hung around with Pentecostals and Baptists and, you know, they, because I'm an evangelical type person and I just love sharing the word, I ended up hanging around with people that were very zealous for the word. But what always bothered me is whenever I would say, well, I was born again on in 1966, they would look at me and go, yeah, really? I'd say, yeah, I was. Serious. Well, can you remember it? And I said, no, can't. But I know that God chose me. I know that He chose me. Because my parents told me. My godparents told me. Because people in the church told me. My relatives told me. And I trust them. And they told me that God used simple water and His mighty word, and He marked me as one redeemed by Christ the crucified and said, you're mine. And I was, and I had one guy who I really love. As a matter of fact, he's a pastor out in Spokane, Washington. And we used to sit for hours discussing this. And I finally one night just said, you know what? The only thing I'm sad about is that we're never going to come to an agreement on this. And the reality is, if you ever get Alzheimer's, I'm concerned about you. Because he made the point that unless you know the date and the time when you committed your life to Christ, then you can't be sure. You can't have the confidence that Hebrews is talking about. You can't have the assurance Jesus is talking about. I'm going, brother, I love you, but what happens if you lose your memory? What happens? Trust is trusting that God, who says He's going to do something, will do it. The whole point of Hebrews chapter 3, and I won't get a chance to get into the whole thing here. The whole point of chapter 3 is, what did those people who didn't believe the report of Caleb and Joshua when they had gone into the promised land and told them about all the wonderful things that were there? Remember, they had to bring the grapes back on a stick between two people because they were just so big. And because they fixated with their minds on the giants, what happened? They decided not to trust in the God of the universe, the God who created all things, the God who separated the Red Sea, the God who brought them through the Red Sea on dry ground, the God who bred all those plagues on Egypt, the God who promised them all this stuff, promised them this victory, and yet they wouldn't go across the Jordan. Why? Because they didn't trust Him. I mean, how many of us, when we were kids, went on these faith walks? Any of you had that fun at Bible camp or anything like that? Where they said, oh, do you trust your counselor? I remember this. Yeah, Bruce went through this. Yeah, do you trust your counselor? And they would say, and we would all go, yeah, sure, no problem. And so then they would say, okay, well, we're going to put a blindfold on you, and he's going to lead you verbally through this path. And the path was very narrow, lots of trees, lots of rocks, lots of dangers, including a lake. And he's going to lead you. And you're going to follow him. And you're going to listen to the voice. It was a lesson about Jesus saying, you know, those who hear my voice and have faith. And I'll never forget, you know, it's one thing to boldly say when you can see everything and you know exactly what's going to happen. Oh, yes, I believe. I trust them. And they put the blindfold on you, and guess what? Things change. And I have to confess, today, or this week, on Wednesday, I felt for a while like the blindfold was on. In my life, I felt like, Lord, what are you doing? I was just crushed, and I thought, what are you doing? How can I trust you if you do stuff that doesn't make any sense? How can I trust you if you do stuff that just doesn't make any sense? And then I started preparing for the message, and I thought, see, that's the problem of those people on the other side of the Jordan, right? It didn't make any sense. How would they take on the giants? How would they be able to capture this country with all these multiple groups of people? How could they believe that God would protect them and bring them to victory? It seemed like everything was against them, right? And that's the author of Hebrews saying, don't have a heart of unbelief, but have a heart that trusts in the God who is able to do what he says. And that was hard, I'll tell you, for me. It took me 2 days to finally get my head around the fact that God knows what he's doing. Because at the point on Wednesday, I wanted him to take it back, reset, push escape on the program, start over. I was upset. And yet, these words were very convicting for me, because does not God understand what's best for us? Does not God now have Josiah's plans for his life in his arms? See, the amazing thing about what Jesus was doing is the Bible says that the little kids, the infants, the little children were coming to Jesus and he was touching them. That's like he was blessing them, like I try to do with my children. You bless them. And it says that he was blessing them. And I think the disciples were kind of concerned because, you know, here was Jesus and there was all these children and he was trying to bless them all. That's what touch means. He was blessing them. And Jesus and the disciples are rebuking him. They're basically saying, leave the poor guy alone. Leave him alone. You're crowding in. Give him some space. They probably thought they were doing the right thing, don't you think? I think so. It's like when Jesus' family came. We talked about that last week. And wanted to take him out because he wasn't eating and taking care of himself. You know, they were doing the right things from a worldly perspective. And yet Jesus responds in a way that's really unique. Very few places that this word shows up. He was indignant with them. Indignant. Means he was very emotional. He was like, stop it! And then he makes a point. He takes the little child and stands them there in front of, or her in front of his disciples and says, unless you have faith like this little one, you won't be part of the kingdom of God. Now just think about that for a second. They have given up every single thing that they own. They left their businesses. They left everything to follow Jesus. They were his disciples. They were his followers. They were the ones who he told that they would be his messengers. And now he's saying, unless you understand and trust like these little children and respond to this like these little children, the kingdom of God does not belong to you. That's kind of harsh, don't you think? I thought it was. I mean, I can't imagine. And yet that's how important Jesus wanted this message to be. That's how important, that's how he compares. I mean, this is, if you're not in the kingdom, what are you? There's only two kingdoms, right? The kingdom of God and hell. So for him to say this, unless you respond like a child, you will not be part of the kingdom of God. That's a huge statement. And you might be scratching your head and going, well, it doesn't sound that bad. Kind of sounds poetic. But it's huge. Because it's saying, unless you trust, like only a child can trust. But you know what? Children are amazing and they trust. Children like Josiah and others, they trust. Because that's all they've ever done. Last night, him and I were having a conversation. And he was just so trusting. I could have told him anything, and he just kind of like smiled. They trust. And what Jesus was saying is, if you want to understand faith, it's trust. It's not the accumulation of knowledge. Because there are many people that have a huge accumulation of knowledge, and yet all that causes them to do is doubt. It's not an abundance of knowledge, it's an abundance of trust. And then he goes on and he does something that is fantastic. In the Greek there, it says that he gathered the little children into his arms. And as I thought about the funeral tomorrow and the wake this afternoon, I thought, you know, that's what I want to see. Just as Jesus took those children in his arms. And I mean, when it says that, it kind of sounds really tame in the English. But if you look at the Greek word there, he like grabbed them. He grabbed them. He cradled them in his arms. Isn't that a wonderful picture? It's an illustration of what happens when we trust. When we let go and let God, when we trust that God is in control and He knows what's best for us, and we let Him be God and us be man or women, and let His kingdom be built on a trust in our hearts that He can do what He says, right? They don't have to rationalize or minimize or any of those other things, that we can just accept what He says He's able to do and believe and trust in it, right? What a difference it makes in our lives. Because faith is about trust. And all of heaven rejoices today because Josiah is a prime example of trust. We have come to share in Christ if we hold firmly till the end the confidence and the assurance we had at first. If we trust that the God who claims us, who marks us, who adopts us as His child, is capable of doing what He promises. He's capable of doing what He says when He says He can heal us. When He says that when it comes to the end of our life, He can take us to be with Him. When He wraps His loving arms around us and says, "You are mine. And nothing can take you out of my hand. Nothing can snatch us from the Father's hands." Do we have that trust? Do we have that knowledge? That yada? That relationship? That intimacy with God? That we can honestly say, even when we don't understand, "We trust You, Lord"? That's why I like that song, "Trust and Obey." Because it starts with trust, doesn't it? Kind of like submission. It starts with trust. Who doesn't want to submit to someone who they trust? Trust and obey. Have that blessed assurance to the end. Believe what the Lord has done today in choosing Josiah as His son. Trusting that if anything would happen, the Lord will wrap him in His loving arms and will keep him for eternity. Doesn't matter how old or how young. Doesn't matter what place we are in our lives. Doesn't matter how many THDs or PhDs we have behind our name. It's a simple trust. It's a simple trust. Are you willing to trust today? Because I'll tell you something. It's like I said before. It's easy to trust when you have your eyes wide open and you can see what's in front of you. But are you willing to trust when the blindfold's on and you don't know where you're stepping next? Are you willing to trust? Because if you have the faith like a little child, then you'll understand what the writer of Hebrews says when he says that we have a share in Christ if we hold firmly to the confidence, the assurance we had at first, to that faith like a little child, that trust in a big God that is so much bigger than us. I love Isaiah because he's the one who says, "You're never going to figure it out. His ways are so much higher than our ways, and His thoughts so much more amazing than our thoughts. You're never going to figure it out." But are you willing to trust? Are you willing to trust in those whom God has placed before you? Are you willing to trust in your family and friends? Are you willing to trust in the body of believers? Are you willing to trust? You know what? It's risky, isn't it? Everything in our being says, you know, we got to take control. We got to handle our own stuff, right? Have you ever noticed that? Satan really wants us to handle our own stuff. He wants us to hold on to everything. He wants us to trust in ourselves. Because we'll do it our way. And yet, the Lord's always saying to us throughout all the Old Testament and throughout the New Testament, and especially in this verse of Hebrews, trust in Him. Trust in Him. Because He has the plan. And He is capable of doing what He promises. Amen? He's capable of doing what He promises. One of my favorite funeral verses is from Isaiah 25. Right, it says, I trust in the Lord, and He gave me salvation. I trust in the Lord, and in His salvation. Isaiah is amazing, because he understands what it means to be faithful. It simply means to trust. May we be so bold and courageous as to trust. See, Joshua trusted. That's why I love the fact that he has his father's name, middle name, and a great name, Joshua, because Joshua was told to be bold and courageous, and he was to go in and take the land. And the first thing God does is, as soon as they get to the Jordan River, what happens? The river stops, and they go through on dry ground. And to make a point, they take 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan River, and they make a memorial to remind them that this actually happened. For generations to come, they could see that our God, who says, trust in me, is capable of doing what he promises, and even more. Jesus said we do even greater things than he. Can we trust him? Trust and obey. Obedience only comes from trust. Trust in a Lord, in the Lord, who is capable of doing what he promises, because he has great things in store. And I can only wait, and I hope the Lord leaves me here long enough to see what he has planned for Josiah. Because we don't know anymore. It brought real to me this week that we don't know how long our life is going to be. But we trust that the Lord knows best. And we trust that, in this case, my prayer is we'll get to see what the Lord has in store for all of his children. Today, all of heaven rejoices because Josiah has been brought into the kingdom. May we rejoice and trust in the assurance we have, or we had at first. Amen. Please let us stand as we